नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनी नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चतदेशधारिणे वंशकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनिभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। I am very grateful for this opportunity to speak a few words in honor of our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, on the occasion of His most sacred disappearance day. I was just thinking what a special relation there is between Radha Ras Bihari Temple and Radha Gopinath Temple. According to Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, the first time Sri Radha Ras Bihari appeared to the devotees was when they were installed on a singhasan at Chopati Beach. The last day of Cross Maidan Pando program, they had a procession with the small deities of Radha and Krishna, and when they arrived, Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple, Sri Radha Ras Bihari was waiting for all the devotees just one block from Radha Gopinath Temple. Also in December of 1971, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Jamuna Devi Prabhu. In that letter, Prabhupada said that there is good prospect of purchasing a 5-acre land in Juhu Beach. He said it is a very wealthy neighborhood. We are going to set up our camp here, and at once we will build a temple, and then later a hotel and a school, and there is good chance that we will also get a bungalow in Bombay City. This was a bungalow that has been slightly transformed over the years. So it was Srila Prabhupada's plan. And then Prabhupada ended the letter by saying that he wanted to make Bombay his headquarters. Srila Prabhupada was so much concerned about his society developing in Bombay. He entered into a great war, a battle against a powerful individual. Mr. Nair was previously the sheriff of Bombay. He was the publisher and editor of one of the largest circulated English newspapers of Bombay. He had contacts with the highest politician, with dacoits, with everyone. And Prabhupada was just had a few inexperienced American disciples. In November of 1971, the devotees were insisting that they develop a temple at Malabar Hill, because they were living in a very nice flat in Akashganga on Bulabai Desai Road. But a Mr. Nair sent a message to Prabhupada that he had a nice property at Juhu and he would give it to him at a very cheap rate. So Srila Prabhupada went there. At that time, it was a jungle, very much a jungle. And in the back of the property was some tenement with immovable tenants. And Prabhupada said to the devotees that in 1965, when he was living in Bombay after leaving Vrindavan, he was at the Skindia house. It was a guest house. And every day he would go to Sumati Morarji's home to give Bhagavad Katha. And on the way, every day, he would pass this piece of land. And he was thinking then, in 1965, that he would like to develop an ashram and a temple for Radha Krishna here. Of all places in all of Bombay, that is the place he marked before he even went to America. Now Prabhupada was very, very alert, and he did not put himself in situations where he could be potentially cheated. But because this land was so special to him, he went into negotiations with a person who he knew very likely would try to cheat him. And his lawyers warned against getting into negotiations with this person. But Srila Prabhupada did it. And he knew it was going to be a battle, and he wanted to have his devotees and deities there as soon as possible. So he told the devotees at Akashganga, "We're moving to Juhu, all of you." Tamal Krishna Goswami, he wasn't Goswami then, I don't think. Maybe. He said that, "You expect us to live there? It's a jungle with rats and disease and mosquitoes." He says, "We're Western people. There's no doorknobs. There's no water faucets. There's no sewage lines. There's nothing there for us." And Srila Prabhupada's reply, Do you not want purification? So they all moved to Juhu. Vishakha Devi Prabhu was talking about the cat holding the rat and the kitten. Yes? And how Prabhupada turned rats into kittens. As she was speaking, I was thinking, he turned rats into kittens that were developing rati, attachment to Krishna. But Juhu, there were so many rats, and they didn't have rati. Many disturbances. And Prabhupada took Radha Ras Bihari from Akashganga, that first appeared in Chopati. He took them from Akashganga and put them in a tent on that land. The devotees lived in tents. And Srila Prabhupada lived in a tent, just like everyone else. And it was a battle that lasted for years. But ultimately, because of Prabhupada's determination, his faith, and his promise to Radharas Bihari that we will build you a temple here. Krishna removed Mr. Nair from the scene, and the temple construction was going on with great speed. When Srila Prabhupada was leaving his body in 1977, he was in Vrindavan for about 6 months. The devotees from Europe and America were inviting Srila Prabhupada to come. And simply for the purpose of encouraging those devotees, reciprocating with their love, Srila Prabhupada agreed. His doctors told him, if you go, all of our medical treatments are going to fail. You're starting to make progress. You'll likely die. But Prabhupada's priority was that his devotees were surrendering their lives to serving him, and he was willing to give his life to encourage the devotees. So he went. They had to carry him onto the airplane, lay him on 3 seats. He had no weight. He was emaciated. In London, how much he conquered the hearts of all of those devotees. But his health was deteriorating. And Prabhupada, he said in London to Tamal Krishna Goswami that if I live a few more days, let me see the temple opening in Bombay. If I'm allowed to see that temple opening and then die, it will be a peaceful death. He was thinking about Sri Radharas Bihari in London. Of course, his health really went down. He had to cancel his plan to go to New York and New Vrindavan and Gita Nagari and Hawaii. He had many plans, Los Angeles. And when he saw that his health was really going down, he took a flight to Bombay, because he wanted to be here for the opening of Radharas Bihari Temple. They put him on the elevator to the 5th floor. And there he was given his accommodation in his beautiful quarters. And he lay down. And Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Goswami that, you remember when I was in London, I appeared very restless, and you see how relaxed and comfortable and happy I am here. He said, Bombay, of all cities in India, I like Bombay the most. Why? Prabhupada didn't like Bombay the most because of Bollywood or because of the Queen's necklace. Prabhupada liked Bombay the most because he felt there was the most service to render to his Guru Maharaj here. It was such an important place to preach to all the people of India and all the people of the world. His health deteriorated further. And he was in a very childlike way, inquiring from his disciples whether he should stay in Bombay to try to survive for the grand opening of Radharas Bihari's temple, or whether he should go to Vrindavan to prepare for death. And there were many opinions that he was getting from various devotees. Some were saying, Prabhupada, there's so much noise here, so much noise, chisels and hammers, because Prabhupada wanted 24-hour shifts of building. Prabhupada said, this sound of hammers and chisels and saw is like music to my ears. It is like kirtan, because I know that the work is being done. They were saying, Prabhupada, it's very, if you're in Vrindavan, your home, it will be very comfortable for you, it will be better for your health. And other devotees were saying, Prabhupada, if you leave here, the devotees will be discouraged, they will all want to go to Vrindavan, they will not build this temple to Mount Krishna. Goswami said, Srila Prabhupada, if you go to Vrindavan, you're going there to die. But if you stay here, you have something to live for, the grand opening of Radharas Bihari and their new temple. But ultimately, Srila Prabhupada decided to go to Vrindavan. Why? Because his health, it appeared impossible for him to remain. It was Srinathji Prabhu who was called by Giriraj Maharaj to bring his automobile to Juhu Beach from Sea Face Park and drive Srila Prabhupada to the railway station. We have heard the story many times, but it's one of the most beautiful stories. Srinathji Prabhu for about 6 years was having arguments and debates with Srila Prabhupada because he was following a teacher who was of the Mayavad school. And it was on that train Srinathji Prabhu brought Prabhupada to his compartment, and there with tears falling from his eyes, he fell at Prabhupada's feet and surrendered to him. And it was there that Srila Prabhupada in his heart accepted him as his own disciple. Srila Prabhupada went to Vrindavan. At one time he called his leaders from all over the world, as many as who could come to be with him. Srila Prabhupada gave up eating and gave up drinking for many days. And he was asking the devotees, should I struggle to stay? Or should I peacefully leave this world? And the devotees didn't know what to say. Hari Sori Prabhu was weeping and crying. How could he tell Prabhupada to struggle and stay? But at the same time, how could he let him go? This is the way all the devotees were feeling. Prabhupada made it known that he had made the decision to depart from the world. The devotees were in great grief. The imminent separation was impossible to bear. He gave up drinking, he gave up eating. He said the only nourishment that he wanted was Hari Nam Sankirtan and the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada was completely at peace, completely happy, just hearing Harinam and Srimad Bhagavatam. But the devotees' hearts were breaking by the moment. They were trying to convince Prabhupada to eat something or drink something. He said, I will drink the holy name, the nectar of the holy name. And at one point, he told to Tumal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, he said, actually, Krishna has given me the choice whether I wish to stay or leave. He told some of the other devotees, and this was the first ray of hope. So they had a meeting in a back room. And one of the leaders, he was saying, if Prabhupada has been given the independent free will by Krishna to stay or leave, then and he's asking our opinion, that means we have the independence to tell him our will. We should tell him to stay. So they became very enlivened. They discussed it, and they went into Prabhupada's room. It was Kirtanananda Maharaj was the spokesman. His lips were trembling. There were tears pouring from his eyes. He couldn't even speak. He just put his head down at Prabhupada's bedside. Prabhupada rubbed his head. He couldn't speak. Brahmananda Maharaj, he was rubbing him at the back. Others were trying to encourage him. And finally, Prabhupada said, what do you want to say? He said, Prabhupada, if Krishna has given your choice, please stay, do not leave. Then Brahmananda Prabhu said, yes, if Krishna has given you the choice, stay for another 10 years and complete the translations and purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. You cannot leave us now. And Prabhupada yawned, very casually yawned, and in a soft voice said, all right. This was too much. The devotees were laughing. They were crying. They did. All right. He said, I will stay. Bring me some juice. And then Prabhupada turned to all the devotees. And he said, that is affection. Srila Prabhupada was just drawing such affection and love from the hearts of his followers. Genuine love and affection. Spontaneous love and affection. And this is how Prabhupada dealt with them the whole time. Then he started giving instructions to Giriraj Maharaj about various bank accounts and so many other things. He started again translating and doing purports for Srimad Bhagavatam in public for everyone to see. But Prabhupada made sure that the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam and Harinam Sankirtan was always going on around him. Prabhupada invited some of his godbrothers to come. Several came. And Prabhupada, with all humility, was begging forgiveness from them. He said, in the line of preaching, sometimes we have to be bold, and I used harsh words like rascal. He said, Prabhupada was begging forgiveness. And his godbrother saying, there is nothing for us to forgive you. Whatever you have done was only for the service of Guru Maharaj and the selfless compassion for all living beings. And then there's that famous story where Prabhupada decided tomorrow I want to go by bullock on parikrama of Govardhan Hill. And some of the devotees just got the bullocks and made all preparations. And others, his personal servants, they were devastated. The doctor said he will die within minutes. The jostling of a bullock cart on these, there wasn't even roads in those days. Very difficult. So there was a debate amongst the devotees whether Prabhupada should go, and devotees were weeping and crying and begging Prabhupada not to go. You will die. And Prabhupada said, it will be glorious to die doing parikrama of Govardhan. But we can't tolerate seeing that pain. He said, no, we will have picnics. It will be very nice. And ultimately, the devotees were in so much distress. Prabhupada looked at Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Bhavananda Prabhu, Tamal Krishna Goswami, said, you do not want me to go? He said, they couldn't even speak. But they expressed their opinion. Prabhupada said, all right, I will stay. And then Prabhupada looked at his very dear godbrother, Niskinchana Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj, and said, Babaji Maharaj, just see the affection that they have for me. In Srila Prabhupada's last weeks, he taught us essential lessons. His life was that of a perfect acharya. But he also taught us how to die. The perfect way, living in Vrindavan, intimately associating with devotees, constantly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna's holy names. But Srila Prabhupada taught us something else. One of the most important lessons, and one of his very final lessons. How to love. How to feel expression and express affection. How much he was drawing love out of the hearts of his devotees that they never knew they ever had toward the representative of Krishna. And how all their devotees, even though they may have had different opinions in the various anxieties Prabhupada was putting them through, they were all totally united in the focus of pleasing Srila Prabhupada out of their love. Srila Prabhupada rose his hand, lifted his hand just days before his departure and spoke. His voice was very weak, but he spoke with all of his strength. Do not fight with each other. You must cooperate. Prabhupada said at other times, you will show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another. In Srila Prabhupada's disappearance lila, not only the personal assistance of Prabhupada in Vrindavan, but all over the world, devotees were praying to Krishna. Prabhupada told us what to pray. My dear Lord Krishna, if you desire, please cure my spiritual master. Through this prayer, Prabhupada taught us all that our desire should ultimately only be Krishna's desire. We should have no separate desire. Prabhupada said he would stay, but ultimately he offered his life to be Krishna's puppet. And when Krishna wanted him to go, he was happy and grateful to leave this world. But in the process, Prabhupada taught us this. Yes, throughout the whole world, when devotees were praying and doing kirtan, our love for Prabhupada was so deeply manifested. Because the nature of the world is we do take things for granted. But when something is gone, or someone is gone, or it appears imminent that they will leave us, then a total focus and concentration on what they mean, on what Srila Prabhupada means to us. Srila Prabhupada, by Krishna's arrangement, left at the most perfect time. November 14th, at approximately 7:30 p.m. in Sri Vrindavan Dham, in his home of Krishna Balaram Temple, surrounded by loving devotees, chanting the holy names at his bedside. And in Prabhupada's departure, he has given us what Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas have claimed to be the highest of all benedictions. Devotional service in separation. In Dwarka, Krishna told Narada Muni and several of the queens the reason why he left Vrindavan and did not return for so long. Because he wanted to give the gopis of Vrindavan and all Brijavasis the highest, deepest experience of spiritual love. Vipralamba Seva. Love in separation. In their separation, if I were to go there, it would not increase their love for me. It would disturb the experience of the supreme ecstasy that I have given them. We are not on that platform. But for those who are sincere, Prabhupada is giving us the opportunity to enter into that perfection of loving service and separation. Srila Prabhupada is in his books. Srila Prabhupada is in his society, ISKCON. He called it his body. Srila Prabhupada is in the association of those who love him. Prabhupada is in his tapes, in his murti, in our service to him. But still, when Srila Prabhupada was physically and personally here, there was something very, very, very special. Offering arti to him and seeing him look at you and smile at you knowing that Prabhupada was going to come and personally see what you're doing, what progress in your projects. And he would give comments, sometimes praise, encouragement, sometimes chastisement. Devotees lived for the next visit of Srila Prabhupada. No, it is not the same. Prabhupada is in his books, but he was always in his books. Prabhupada was in his society and in his association. He's always like that. But to have Prabhupada personally come in and give his merciful glance and speak his words of encouragement and see and accept the little service you've rendered was something very, very special. And what is the most special thing about that? The anxiety in the heart of feeling separation from that. And in separation from that, Prabhupada is personally reciprocating in a most special and powerful way. So yes, we should feel that Prabhupada is always with us, because he is. Prabhupada said about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there was never a moment when I did not feel the presence of my Guru Maharaj. But still on his disappearance day, Prabhupada was weeping in separation. And he wrote that beautiful Vyas Puja, where he said, in your departure, I cry in grief. Srila Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya ISKCON. Many devotees only saw him a few times in their whole lives. Some of the most powerful leaders of our movement today never spoke a word to him. Some of his disciples never saw him. But they were crying in separation as much as those who were his personal secretaries and servants. Because association with Prabhupada is on a transcendental platform. And this holds true for all generations within ISKCON. By learning about Srila Prabhupada's life, by reading his books, by hearing his tapes, and by serving him as the servant of the servant of his servants, we want to develop that personal feeling of separation and longing to be in Prabhupada's physical presence again, in the spiritual world, and in our heart of hearts. Yes, Srila Prabhupada is here with all of us. And it is only by his prayer, his blessing, and his supreme sacrifice that we have come to the path of pure bhakti. And it is only by his divine grace that we are being sustained. So let us take shelter of his books. Take shelter of the institution that he considered so sacred. Take shelter of the association of devotees and the opportunity to serve. But at the same time, let it not be impersonal. Let us really get to know Srila Prabhupada personally through his teachings, through those who loved him, And let us cultivate that longing of separation to be once again reunited with Srila Prabhupada within our heart of hearts through surrendering to his divine mission. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.